What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of our podcast here at Fandango. My name is Eric Davis, and joining me as always is Sean O'Connell, and we're recording this during the week of 4th of July. Happy 4th of July to you, Sean.
Thank you, sir. And I think most people think that this is the midway point and probably the second biggest summer weekend, with Memorial Day being a huge weekend. And actually the opening weekend, you know, of the summer ends up being really big. But we're here to let people know that even though it's July 4th, and it seems at the moment that your multiplexes are jammed with blockbusters, there are still plenty more films to get excited about for the second half of the summer. And we're here to talk about some of the biggest ones that we're looking forward to, and also some of these smaller gems that we want to make sure are on your radar as the summer progresses.
Exactly. So, like, what's coming out? Now we're passing the 4th of July. And what is it? I mean, what is coming out that we should be excited about? My first pick is actually coming out next week, and it's Pacific Rim. And I've seen Pacific Rim. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet, but I can say that I'm excited about it. And for reasons that are already out there, I think it's an original blockbuster. It's a new idea. It has an ensemble cast full of international names that aren't stars. And it's directed by a guy who is, I think, one of the nerdiest and most passionate directors around, who really kind of tries to service the fan base of the films that he directs in really fun ways. And so I'm excited that they're handing someone like Guillermo del Toro $200 million to make a monster movie in this day and age. Right. I think that's really cool, and I'm really excited about that.
What does it compare to, Eric? If for people who don't know del Toro, who maybe don't know the backstory of this project that he tried to get off the ground, we know that it's monsters versus robots, and it plays really well with the Comic-Con crowd. But for people who think that it's being marketed as like it's Transformers or something on that level, is it that? Is it something totally different?
I mean, look, it's giant monsters versus giant robots, and I say robots because it's an easy way to sell the film, but technically they're not robots because they're really two humans inside of a mech suit. So they're two humans controlling what looks like a giant freaking Iron Man, so to speak, okay, or a giant Transformer. But okay. I mean, look, and this is what I told people. Some guys asked me yesterday. They're like, what the hell is Pacific Rim? What is this thing? I say, look, if a movie about giant monsters battling giant robot-looking things is something that turns you on in a way where you're like, I got to see that on the big screen,
right,
then you're going to love Pacific Rim. If you think of that concept and immediately say, ugh, why the hell would I want to see something like that, you're probably not going to like Pacific Rim.
Okay,
I mean,
all right.
It's easy as that. It's really an easy way to figure it out. I mean, is it much more than giant robots fighting giant monsters? I mean, not really. This is what it is. You know, this isn't – one thing I like about Pacific Rim is that it's not an origin story per se. its origin story is told in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then it's basically 2 hours of robots fighting monsters in order to save our planet. And that's the movie. And there's some interesting human characters. And one thing that I think that's interesting about Pacific Rim, and I don't want to get too much into it because I think I want to talk about this more with you next week, is I think the story of Pacific Rim and the film itself is kind of a sign of the future, in the way that we're opening up these blockbusters more towards international audiences now. And Pacific Rim has a cast that's literally filled with international actors,
right,
to the point where its lead actress, and I'm going to botch her name, but she's an Asian actress who has an accent, who probably kicks more ass than any female actress of the year, of the summer.
Right.
And I'm trying to look up her name really fast for you. Sorry.
It is
Rinko Kikuchi. Okay,
Kikuchi
plays Mako Mori in the film. This is a film that its lead actress isn't Gwyneth Paltrow, isn't Zoe Saldana. It's this girl who U.S. audiences aren't going to really be familiar with, but international audiences will be. And I think Pacific Rim will set the stage for what the future of our summer blockbusters could look like. The film itself is about the world, the entire world, not just the U.S., but the entire world coming together to defeat this monster problem, and it's full of an ensemble cast of the entire world, of all of these international actors and actresses, with a lead actress who is not from the U.S. And so I really like that about it, and I appreciate that about it, and I think it's an interesting film to watch because it could be the future of our blockbusters, the future of the sort of, I guess, the quote-unquote world coming together inside these movies to literally fight together and to kind of help the blockbusters. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I totally know what you're talking
about. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making sense. I'm excited for it, and I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited for it for a different reason because it's original. It's new. It's fresh. It's not a remake. It's not an adaptation of an existing property. It's not a sequel or a prequel, and the summer's been jam-packed with them. Even movies that I like, Monsters University, is still from an existing world. You know, Star Trek Into Darkness was a sequel to a rebooted franchise. It's been around forever. I think that's why I kind of responded to World War Z and the fact that, yeah, it was a zombie story, but it was something different, something new, and probably thinking on that global scale that you're mentioning with Pacific Rim. So I'm excited for that reason. And it sort of feeds into what my choice is for the big movie coming at the end of the summer, which is Elysium. And this is a movie that I'm putting all of my chips into just because I believe in Neil Blomkamp, the director who gave us District 9, which was, again, something new and something fresh and something different and an original voice in science fiction and in special effects driven storytelling. I mean, yeah, he has a huge star in Matt Damon playing a guy who lives on our planet in a distant future when the people who aren't part of the rich and the elite have to live in a sort of bombed out version of our planet. And the wealthy live in a space shuttle called Elysium. And when Damon's character gets sick, he has to get himself up there to try and find a cure, which turned out to be a lot harder than he thinks. You know, we've been talking about this since Comic-Con last year when Blomkamp took the stage in Hall H and showed some footage, some unfinished footage. And it feels like we've been waiting for a long time. But now it's coming, August 9th. And I think I would be excited for it because I like the premise. But just seeing what he did with District 9 totally blew me away. And I think that became like a word of mouth type hit where people who might not try sci-fi, people who didn't know who this guy was, they went to it because they heard so many people just coming back from it and saying, it's so great. You got to see it, give it a try. And I hope that they're primed for Elysium, or even if they don't come like opening weekend, if it's as good as District 9, if the word just keeps spreading and the buzz keeps building and people turn it into a surprise hit for the second half of the summer. Though it's in a good slot, that first week of August tends to be pretty good for action-driven films who are trying to open and reach a grown-up audience.
Yeah, I think – I mean they're giving them the Bourne spot, which I think is smart. Right. You know, it's really interesting how I think studios kind of position movies with actors who had movies come out, even if they're completely different movies, at that same point last year, as if to kind of feed into some kind of clock that's inside of us that says, okay, I saw Channing Tatum and Magic Mike at the same time last year. You know, I'm in the mood to see Channing Tatum again in White House Down. It's weird how like there's like I guess studios feel like we have this internal clock that says that we should be anticipating something by this actor at this point in the year.
Right.
That said, yes, I'm excited for Elysium the same reasons that you are. I also think a lot of people criticize summer movies because they're dumb, they're too silly, they're too over the top. Neil Blomkamp, and he proved this with District 9, and I know it's going to be in Elysium too. He's someone that gives you the thrill of a summer movie, but he also get it's a little heady. And
yes,
there's always these layers to it. And there's always like, how is it mirroring our world? I mean, what is he saying about the way we're treating each other right now or how we're going to treat each other in the future? And so it's not only like, can you walk out and be like, that was a really cool action sequence when Matt Damon did that, but you can also have different discussions on what is this film telling you? What's the message of this film? And so I like Blomkamp for those reasons. And I think more directors or more studios should give directors the chance to tell these films that are a bit more headier that also deliver the goods, you know?
Well, and they will if these movies make money, you know? If Elysium does really, really well, if Pacific Rim does really well, if Gravity coming out later this year from Cuaron does really well, then these filmmakers who have something to say, because you're right, there's a lot of social themes weaved through Blomkamp's films. I'm sure there probably is in Pacific Rim too. You know, if these guys find a larger audience, then they're going to get hopefully the vote of confidence from the studio that you need.
I agree. When it comes to smaller films coming out,
yeah,
because let's also give people a chance to figure out you know, what's maybe not in their face all the time on television. My pick would be The Way, Way Back, which actually hits 19 screens this Friday, and it'll expand. So if it's not by you this Friday, it'll be by you in the next couple of weeks. But The Way, Way Back, it was the biggest sale out of the Sundance Film Festival this year, which was interesting because it's essentially a coming of age movie. And in a year that's full of them, we've talked about coming of age movies and why we feel like there's a lot of great ones this year. But The Way, Way Back, it's a great little comedy. It's got really great performances from Sam Rockwell and Allison Janney, who's terrific in it. And it's basically, you know, about a shy kid who goes on vacation with his parents to his mother's boyfriend, who played by Steve Carell, is his house. And he meets up with this ragtag group of idiots from a water park led by Sam Rockwell. And it's these idiots that kind of teach him to come out of his shell and that it's okay to still be him and come out of his shell. And, you know, there's the summer crush and there's the water slides and there's everything that you love as a kid growing up in the summer, you know. And everyone, when they grew up, they sort of went on that summer vacation maybe that they didn't want to go on with their parents, where, you know, it was more about their parents than it was them. But then somehow they found some kind of something to relate to and something that turned that particular vacation into one of the more memorable ones that they've ever had. And that's kind of those experiences is what this movie taps into. It's really fun. It makes you feel good, you know, and if you're looking to escape the kind of the destruction and the bam and the pow, this is a really great film that not only makes you feel good, but it makes you kind of love summer even more than maybe you do.
Nice. And you tipped me off to The Kings of Summer also, which is playing in select theaters right now too. And I think probably falls along a lot of those same lines. I've caught up with it and loved it. So if people are looking to see something similar too, I think they should check out Kings of Summer. My choice was going to be The Spectacular Now, which I haven't seen yet and I've heard so many good things about. But then I looked at this one date on the calendar that just blew me away for the amount of options that people are going to have. Circle August 23rd on your calendar and go to the theater and just camp out there for the day, because the main one I'm sending you to is The World's End, which is the new Edgar Wright film that he's doing with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. And if you know those three names, it's probably because you adore Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and the comedies that these three put out. They just feel like they're tailored directly to me. And especially with this new one, they're guys who are getting a little bit past their prime, who in their golden days tried to do a pub crawl and weren't able to finish it. And now Simon Pegg's character is trying to get all of his buddies back together to finish this pub crawl. But of course, they're older now. They have real jobs, everyone except for him. You know, they've all kind of moved on. They've matured and he hasn't yet. I just love their style of humor. I think that everything that they're doing works so well. And I know that Edgar Wright's going to go on to Marvel and Ant-Man and he's going to blow up really big. But I'm glad that he's concluding this trilogy that he's done with these guys, and I hope it's not the end of their collaborations, because I want them to do several more films together. But in addition to The World's End, if you just look at that date, Drinking Buddies is opening, which is a great film from Joe Swanberg. Short Term 12, which is a film that won the Audience Award at South by Southwest and is a really sweet and motivational film. And then the horror comedy, I guess you'd call it, Your Next is opening on that day. There's so many good things coming on August 23rd that you just need to be in a movie theater on that day.
Yeah, August 23rd, and it's funny, I wrote about this not too long ago. It's really the best weekend to see movies this summer. Unfortunately, not for everyone, because like Short Term 12, a lot of these films open up in limited theaters, you know, like on four screens. So if you're not in New York or LA, you can't really see these films. But yeah, Short Term 12, I fell in love with this movie. I think it's brilliant. I think Brie Larson will be nominated for an award. I don't know what, but she's amazing in it. I think it's a really great film. Drinking Buddies, also really great. Your Next, my favorite horror movie of the year. I think it's really great.
Yes.
And so, yeah, these are all films, smaller films that you should definitely see. And The World's End, I will give you that as well. I think that what I really like about it is that the premise of it sounds like a buddy comedy. You know, something that maybe you'd see from like Todd Phillips or something. But it's a buddy comedy that's kind of wrapped up inside an apocalyptic, you know, ending of the world movie. And
right.
That's what I always love about Edgar Wright's films, is that he has these really great relatable stories about these characters who you know and who you instantly love. But then all of a sudden on top of them are these giant freaking plots, you know, that kind of explode and pop all over your screen. And I feel like The World's End will probably be closer to Shaun of the Dead than Hot Fuzz, where just random dudes all of a sudden find themselves in the middle of the apocalypse. So I think it's going to be really fun, and I really can't wait to see that as well.
So our point basically is that, yes, we're past July 4th, but there's still a lot of summer left. Don't feel like it's over yet. There are a ton of good films on the horizon. I mean, we didn't even get into things like The Wolverine, which I think can be a lot of fun. There's some good animation coming for families. Kick-Ass 2 looks like it could be interesting with Jim Carrey sort of distancing himself from it. I even think Two Guns looks like it could be a lot of fun. That trailer sold me on that material. I like the pairing of Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg. So, I mean, there's a lot still to come, and we'll be covering it on the podcast.
Exactly. And when it comes to what's coming out this weekend, we have two films, and I'm going to ask Sean questions about each one to kind of – one question about each film, and I feel like it's a question that will help audiences it's a question that I think audiences will have. And like if you had one question to ask a film critic who's seen this movie about the movie, I try to figure out what that one question is, and I'm going to ask Sean. Let's go with The Lone Ranger.
Yes.
I've heard that it is not a movie for kids, which is interesting because it's coming from Disney and it's got Johnny Depp. And Johnny Depp and Gore Verbinski, who directed it, teamed up on the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, which were, you know, tried to be sold to families and stuff. So is The Lone Ranger a family movie?
Now, that's an interesting question, Eric, and I will have a long column going into detail called When Can I Watch The Lone Ranger with My Kids up on the site later today.
Maybe the short version.
The short version is no, it's aimed for teenagers. It has a supernatural element where there's a villain who eats body parts. It has some really violent scenes in it. I don't think that it tries to pander to younger audiences at all. It's very long. It's not going to hold a young kid's attention. It's shockingly violent. I mean, I can't get over the violence in a lot of the action sequences. And there's just not enough going on in terms of big action set pieces. There are two, one at the very beginning and one at the very end. And there's a middle section that's going to have your kids squirming in their seats and asking to go to the concession stand. And I don't think that it's aimed at young kids at all.
Ooh, very well. Other movie is Despicable Me 2. It's a big animated sequel. You know, Sean, sometimes with these animated sequels, they throw everything that was popular in the first film onto the screen, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. They do it just to kind of, you know, grab that audience back. Does Despicable Me 2 add to the enjoyment of Despicable Me 1? Is it a good sequel? Are people who like the first one going to want to see this one?
Yes, 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 and yes to all of that above. They do amplify everything that you liked about the first movie, but I also think that they take the next step of evolution for these characters. It's not just more of the same in terms of plot, with Gru now sort of advancing to this next sort of stage of being a spy and having to go on a different mission that involves his three young daughters and a whole new group called the Anti-Villain League, which I thought was a lot of fun. And it's almost like with the Austin Powers movies, you're getting more of the same, but they're taking it to the next level. But at the same time, I think the people who animated it realized that families love the Minions, that kids really love the Minions, so you have a lot more of them. I don't know if I'm ready for a Minions movie necessarily, but I like what they did with them in this sequel. I thought this was really, really funny. I laughed my way through it from start to finish. So I'm a big fan of Despicable Me 2, and I would totally send you to that if you're a parent looking to bring your kids to something. Even if you're just a fan of comedy, I think it's probably one of the funniest movies in theaters right now.
Great. Sean, thank you very much for your recommendations. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. We have Pacific Rim coming out next week. We have Comic-Con on the horizon. Sean and I will both be at Comic-Con. We'll both be talking about what's at Comic-Con and our reactions of what's at Comic-Con, probably at Comic-Con. nevertheless, I really hope you guys enjoy your holiday weekend. Go see the movies this weekend. There's some really good movies. I'm still trying to get people to go see White House Down. And I will mention fast before we go that Sony's doing a really cool thing on July 4th that where veterans and active military can take a guest to most of the major theater chains and see White House Down for free.
That's awesome.
On Independence Day. I think that's a really cool idea. So go take advantage of that. But if you don't, have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekend at the movies. Plenty of good stuff to see. And we'll talk to you next week.